Well, good afternoon. I would be ashamed of myself if I did not thank each and every one of you from the beginning for the warm welcome that my wife and I have received. Every one of you have been so encouraging, and we're only 2 weeks in, so I can't imagine what the next 2 years will hold. And again, I just let you know that we are so excited to be here, and we are so excited to work with every one of you. And I pray again, as is always my prayer, that the things that I have studied and the things that I will present to you will be of a help to you and will maybe make you think about something that maybe will help you throughout this next week, maybe will help you throughout the days remaining in our lives as we walk this earth. We live in a culture that connects self-esteem with the way we look. A lot of times we connect the way we feel and the way we connect with people emotionally by the way that we look, the way that our bodies look, the way that our health is. Our health is a big part of our lives here on this earth. We live in a culture that is constantly looking for ways to stay alive. We're pushing the envelope, constantly finding new medical technology that helps our health, that helps us live longer lives than people in the past years have lived. And as a result of all of these things, people have become obsessed with their health. And that's not entirely a bad thing, but we see that around about us. We see that, you know, we walk through the stores and we see the self-help books and the websites that are devoted to our health and how we can become healthier. And we become obsessed with keeping ourselves going, with keeping ourselves alive and keeping ourselves fit. Health has really become, in our nation, a symbol of status, a symbol of wealth. Those who are healthy are those who have the money to devote to it. Those are the people who have the status and the power in our society. And with such sites, websites and self-help books that we see, with all of these health food stores that we see popping up on all the corners, our concern for health is evident. But I can't help but wonder sometimes what our nation would look like if we cared as much about our physical, or if we cared as much about our spiritual health as we do our physical health. What would our nation look like? Would it be as fit? Oh, maybe not. Maybe so. But I can guarantee you it would be spiritually fit. And we would be a nation of people who cared about God and who cared about spiritual things. If you would turn over with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4, that's where I'd like to begin our study this afternoon. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. Paul writes, "If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe." I'd like to take just a minute and note what this passage tells us. Because this passage really tells us where our emphasis ought to be. First, in verse 9, I think it's interesting. Paul uses this statement a couple times in his writing to Timothy and to Titus. But in verse 9, he says, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance." He says, "The thing that I have just told you, listen to it. It's important. Take it and meditate on it and use it in your life. Accept it fully." But what does he tell them? He says, "Be trained in the words of faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed." Be trained in those things. He goes on to say in verse 7, "Train yourself for godliness." He says bodily training, this physical training, this health, you know, this dealing with this physical health, it's important. He says it has some value, but godliness is of value in every way. Training ourselves for godliness. Exercising our spiritual bodies is of the utmost importance. It's of more importance even than handling our physical bodies. Godliness is of value in every way because, he says, it holds promise for the present life. It holds promise for us today If we train ourselves spiritually now, we will have the things we need. We will be cared for by the brethren. We have these spiritual blessings that are in Christ that we read about elsewhere. But he also says godliness is of value in every way because it has promise for the life to come. So not only do we, when we train our spiritual body, when we handle our spiritual health in the way it ought to be, do we receive physical blessings in this life, but we receive spiritual blessings in the life to come. Exercising godliness, that is exercising our spiritual lives, is of much more importance than anything we can do to our physical bodies. So the question I'd like to ask this afternoon is, how do we train our spiritual health? How do we become spiritually healthy people? Because I think that is something that God expects of us. And the first thing I would suggest to you, that if we're going to truly become spiritually healthy people, if we're going to become healthy in our spirit, we must exercise often. We must constantly be training ourselves. Physical exercise and activity is important if we're going to maintain any physical health. We understand that if we're going to be physically fit, if we're going to be healthy, we must exercise. If we expect to live a long life, we must use our body. There's a website I ran across while studying for this sermon, and there's a number of these kind of sites that we can find. But this website gave some different tips to living a healthy life. And this was one of the tips. It said, exercise often. I'll quote to you from this website that I found. It says, exercise often for at least 30 minutes on at least 3 days of the week. According to the Mayo Clinic, regular exercise can boost your energy level, improve your mood, help you sleep better, and reduce the risk of diabetes, cancer, and osteoporosis. I bet you didn't know you were going to get a health tip lesson in this sermon as well. We understand the value of physical exercise. If we exercise ourselves physically, we will become healthier. We will, you know, reduce the risk. We'll be in a better mood, it says. We'll reduce the risk of our illnesses. We'll sleep better. All these wonderful things that we love so much. But it's the same with our spiritual lives. We have to exercise our spiritual lives. And we understand the importance of exercising the physical body, but all too often we neglect the spiritual body. I'd like to remind you again of what we already read in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 6 through 8, in Paul's words to Timothy, he reminded them to exercise yourself unto godliness. Exercise is of the utmost importance. We must exercise ourselves spiritually. Exercise is important, but you'll remember Paul told Timothy, exercise yourself for godliness, because that is what will last in this life and in the life to come. We exercise ourselves, you know, we think about how we exercise ourselves, and we exercise ourselves by doing the work we are called to do, by doing the work that God has given us to do. Over in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, Paul writes there, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We are created to work. We ought to exercise ourselves and do the work that God has created us for. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 20. Paul writes, "Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work." Have we exercised ourselves to the point that we are ready for every good work? So that any work that God requires of us, any work that God needs us to accomplish, are we ready for that work? Have we cleansed ourselves so that we are ready, so we are vessels that can be used? We must exercise ourselves by doing these works. We must exercise ourselves so that we are ready to accomplish these good works. And I would suggest to you that exercise is hard. You know, we don't go to the gym and expect it to be easy. Exercise is something we're going to have to work at. And it's the same with our spiritual life. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Paul writes to the Galatians, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Paul says, don't give up. Don't stop doing good. It will be difficult. It will be hard work. But you remember what he wrote to Timothy. Exercising yourself to godliness has reward, has promise in this life and the life to come. Exercise. Don't give up exercising. And then exercising spiritually is profitable for us. It gives us a return on our work. Titus chapter 3 and verse 8, over in the book of Titus, Paul writes to this young preacher, Titus 3 and verse 8, the saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good work. These things are excellent and profitable for people. Paul tells Titus, he says, devote yourself to good work. He says, I want you to tell people to devote themselves to good work. Why? Because it's profitable. Because if you exercise yourself in the spiritual things, in the things that God deems worthy, it's profitable for you. You get something out of it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul writes to the Corinthians, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. What is the profit for our spiritual exercise? Our inner man is renewed. We are renewed day by day. We have the promise of being renewed when we exercise our spirit properly. I would also suggest to you, though, as we consider exercising ourselves, that a spiritual life that is not exercised, if we do not properly exercise our spirit, it's not going to last long. Exercise is an essential part of the Christian's life. James chapter 2 and verse 17, we think about the words that James wrote in James chapter 2 and verse 17. So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. He says, if you have this faith, if you have this great faith, you may, you know, profess to have this spiritual life. But if you're not active, if you're not showing your faith through works, if you're not demonstrating that faith, it's a dead faith. Our spiritual life is dead if we do not exercise it, if we do not work it. And we are warned against being sluggish in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. The writer there indicates, he says, in beginning in verse 10, for God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. He says exercise is important, so don't be sluggish. Don't be sluggish. Don't be slothful. We read in the Proverbs over and over about the fool who is slothful and he doesn't work and he doesn't. Don't do that. Exercise your spirit. Exercise in good works. And of course, the sluggishness here in Hebrews chapter 6, this sluggishness is to be replaced by what follows that. We are to be imitators of those who have faith and patience, those virtues that we think of that accompany the strong spiritual lives. So we need to work. We need to exercise our spirits. And, you know, we see this in our physical lives. When we do not exercise ourselves, we waste away. I was speaking with Chuck earlier in the week. He came by the office and we talked about how, you know, when you can't use a limb or, you know, you've broken your leg or something and you can't use it, how your muscles just shrivel up and you can't use it because you're not exercising it. And it's not until you build yourself back up, until you build up those muscles, that you can again have full strength. When we stop using our body, it wastes away until it no longer works. And that's the same with our spiritual life. When we no longer use our spiritual life, when we're not doing the good works that God has created us for, when we're not engaged in things of a spiritual nature, we die. We lose that ability. We don't have the ability to be as spiritual as we ought to be. So we must exercise ourselves spiritually. And we must use what we have spiritually or else we will lose it. Well, the second thing I would suggest to you that may help us as we try to exercise ourselves and try to be spiritually healthier and spiritually fit, is to cook at home. You know, this is one of the tips that they give people when they're trying to be, when they're trying to live healthy lives. This website I mentioned to you earlier that gave us the tip about exercising. I'll read you an excerpt again. It says, cook instead of eating out or buying prepared meals. Home cooks have the power to include the foods they find most important in meals and snacks and leave out items that will negatively impact the diet. Now, I'm sure you're wondering what I'm thinking about this. We need to study for ourselves. We need to, in a sense, cook at home spiritually. You know, a lot of times we get in this mindset where we're going to go to church and we're going to put in the hours at church and that's it. And I don't want you to be confused, because church is of the utmost importance. Worship is extremely important to the Christian's life. In Hebrews chapter 10, a passage that may be familiar to us, Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 24. The writer there tells us, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So he says it's important to go to worship and to encourage one another and to build one another up. He says, don't get into the habit of not going to worship. And that's not what I'm advocating. But we need to study for ourselves, and we need to set aside time to study for ourselves at home. The Lord's desire has not changed for us. God's expectations haven't changed. He has always expected his people to delve into his word, to know his commandments, and to be impacted by those things. If you'd like to turn over to the Old Testament with me, in the book of Joshua, the first chapter, right before the Israelites are going in to conquer the land, this is what we find written in Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So even in the Old Testament, God expected his people to be engulfed in the word. He says, meditate on it day and night. And I would suggest to you that we serve an unchanging God. And if God expected that of his people then, if he expected his people to live lives that were constantly in his word, constantly meditating on his precepts and his laws, he expects that of us today. We need to meditate on the word of God day and night. It needs to constantly be in our mouths and be on our lips. But it's the same when we go over to the New Testament. A New Testament of example of this that we see in Acts chapter 17, another example that may be familiar to us. As Paul is forced to leave Thessalonica, he goes into Berea. And in Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 10, it says, the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So we find an example that I think is condoned here that we need to follow. An example of people who examine the scriptures. Daily they were examining the scriptures. They wanted to know the words of God. If we're going to be spiritually healthy, and if we're going to be spiritually fit, then we need to study the word of God for ourselves. We need to study it at home. We need to study it with our families. It's important. You know, oftentimes, I think we're the only ones who truly know what we need spiritually. Now, Kyle can stand up here and preach to you, and I can stand up here and offer what little I know, but you're the only one who truly knows your spiritual state. And you're the only one who truly knows what you need to study. And so we need to take that and form our own study schedule and form our own habits so that we can study for ourselves and know the things that we ought to know. If we don't take the time to study for ourselves at home, we will not be as spiritually healthy as we need to be. So we need to exercise ourselves. We need to exercise ourselves spiritually. We need to cook at home. We need to study for ourselves at home. But the third and final thing that I would suggest to you, if we're going to live spiritually healthy lives, we need to eliminate all unhealthy habits from our lives. Again, I'll read to you from this website. It says, eliminate unhealthy habits such as smoking, excessive drinking, and eating a lot of processed foods and fatty snacks. Keep a journal and you can use to detail progress in reaching goals of adopting healthier habits instead, such as snacking on fresh fruit or going for a jog instead of having a cigarette. So, you know, when we talk about our physical bodies, we understand that we have to get the bad stuff out. We have to eliminate the bad habits that we're engaged in if we're going to lead healthy lives. And it's the same with our spiritual life. We have to get rid of the bad habits. We have to get rid of the sin that is in our lives if we're truly going to be healthy spiritually. We must give these things up completely. We can have no trace of evil things, of unhealthy habits in our spiritual life. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Jesus speaks here on the Sermon on the Mount as he comes to the end. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, he says, no one can serve two masters. He says, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Or another way of saying that, I think, is you cannot serve God and the things of this world. You can't be tied to the world. He says, you can't serve two masters. You have to pick one. Get the bad habits out. Get them out of the way, and then we can lead healthy spiritual lives. But I'd like you to note just a chapter earlier in this same sermon. Look at how strongly Jesus words the thoughts in Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 and 30. He says, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. If we want to be spiritually healthy, if we're going to lead lives that are satisfying in God's eyes, we have to completely remove ourselves from all unhealthy habits and all things that would be contrary to His will. Cut it off and throw it away, He says. But I think it's important to note that this won't be an easy thing to do. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, Paul writes there, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It won't be an easy thing to do to get rid of all these things. It's not going to be an easy thing to cut off these things from our lives. So Paul warns us. He says, look carefully how you walk. We're going to have to walk always looking around us, always ready for temptation to come, always ready to fight off anything that might hinder our spiritual health. So what kind of things are we talking about when we are avoiding? Well, what kind of things do we avoid? Well, we might find an example in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul writes again to the young preacher, beginning in verse 16, but avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. So when we think about, like, you know, these examples that we need to get rid of, get rid of this foolish babbling, this irreverent babble, he says. We had a great lesson this morning on our speech and how we need to use words that are profitable and that are uplifting and that build people up. He says, get rid of irreverent babble. Just cut it out. It's an unhealthy habit. Get rid of it. Another example we might cite is Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25. We read it earlier, but here we find there are people who are making a habit of not attending the assembly. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, he says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. So apparently some had made a habit of this. And he says, avoid that habit. Get rid of that habit. It's unhealthy. Avoid that. So we think about the things that we need to avoid in our life. the kind of habits that are hindering us spiritually, the things that are in our way that keep us from a healthy life. Get rid of it. Don't let it be a part of your life anymore. But instead of just, you know, getting rid of habits and leaving them empty, we've got to put something back in that place. You know, we read from the health website that talked about, you know, going for a jog instead of, you know, one of these bad habits, or eating a healthy snack instead of snacking on something unhealthy. We've got to let God control our life. We've got to get rid of the unhealthy habits and fill it with God instead. In James chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, he says, "Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." He says, submit yourself to God. Don't submit to the evil habits of this world. Don't submit to those unhealthy things that will hinder you spiritually. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Purify your hearts. Get the junk out of your system. Get rid of all the impure things that are hindering our spiritual health. Draw near to God and let God dictate your actions. Let God dictate the habits that you form. We must strive to live a life worthy of God. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 through 38. In Matthew chapter 10, we read, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." Here Christ makes some very powerful statements. We have to get rid of everything that is going to be a hindrance to us. Whether it be father and mother, whether it be son or daughter, whether it be anything that is in our life that is standing in between us and Christ. Whatever those bad habits are, we have to remove them. And that is the only way to move forward and be spiritually healthy. If we have things in the way, we won't be worthy of Christ and we won't be spiritually healthy. Our habits, however, it's also important to note, will be evident. The things that we make our habits in our life will come out and people will see those things. In Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 43, Luke chapter 6 and verse 43. "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." What we put into our lives, the habits that we use, the habits that we conform to, will come out in our lives. And people will see that. And people will be able to see if we are spiritually healthy or not. People will note that. Are we spiritually healthy? Do we have the spiritual health that God would desire of us? If we truly desire to grow spiritually, we must exercise ourselves. We must exercise our spiritual life. We must study for ourselves outside of the assembly. We must make that a habit of ours. And of course, we must get rid of any evil habits that might be in the way. Get rid of all that is bad. And giving attention to our physical well-being is important, as Paul wrote to Timothy. Giving attention to the physical body is important. There is good that comes from that. But of even greater importance is giving attention to the spiritual health. I'd like to read to you one last verse in Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 10. "And as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?' But when he heard it, he said, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but the sinner.'" Are you spiritually unhealthy this day? You know, we can put these safeguards in our life. We can build our spiritual health up to the best of our ability. But I think one of the most comforting things is that no matter what our spiritual condition is, no matter what, how spiritually unhealthy we are, no matter what our sickness is, we have the great physician. We have a physician in Jesus Christ who can cleanse any illness, who can save us from anything that might be in the way. If you're in that situation this night, we want to help you come back to Christ. We want to help you make right what is wrong. We want to help you become spiritually healthy and spiritually fit. If we can pray with you, if we can baptize you into Christ this night, we ask that you come forward at this time as we stand and as we sing this song of encouragement.